The morning of March 9th looked like a pretty good morning to get out on the ice. Vern Frechette had been born and raised on Lake Superior's Shawamigan Bay, and he knew it better than most. He was familiar with the unpredictable waters between the Apostle Islands and fished there often in the summer and winter. That fateful March morning, Vern, his brother George, and friend Oscar Holman headed out on the ice in a Model T between the northeast end of Madeline Island and Michigan Island. About 10 other men from Washburn and a handful from Ashland were also on the ice that day. The men were after the big lake trout, the heavy fish that could feed a family or be sold over at Cornucopia, sometimes for 23 cents a pound. Lake trout run deep, and fishing for them in the 1930s meant using a big bobbing hook and heavy tarred line. When I met Vern in a small apartment in Washburn to get a first-hand account of the story, he told me that they made the line by twisting strands of shoemaker's twine and covering them with tar. It held up good, he told me, but you had to check on it pretty often. Store-bought hooks were rare back then, so hooks were sometimes fashioned from the tines of a pitchfork. Frechette said the hooks didn't have eyelets on them, so they would wrap the line around the end of the hook and seal it with nail polish. With a heavy, cone-shaped sinker and cut-up herring for bait, they were ready to fish. Trout fishing on Lake Superior ice in early March was serious business, but the threat of a storm coming up from the southwest was serious business too, and when the wind began to blow across the ice, the Frechette brothers knew just what to do: pack up and get to land as fast as possible. But as they drove the Model T towards Long Island and safety, the storm intensified surprisingly, temperatures plunging and a driving snow developing. They suddenly saw an open stretch of water running south from Madeline Island, growing steadily wider. The Frechette brothers and the 27 other fishermen out on the ice that day had become trapped on an ice floe that was being blown out to the open lake by the intensifying storm. Their lives were in jeopardy, and everyone knew it. "We didn't have time to be scared," said Frechette. "We just had to get off the ice somehow." Stopped at the edge of the floe, looking towards the island that now seemed so far away, the three men saw a vision through the storm. A man was rowing a 14-foot-long, flat-bottomed boat through the crashing waves. The man was Bancroft Beauf, a fisherman from Grand Marais, Michigan, and he was rowing for all he was worth. Beauf had just rescued two men and was headed for shore, but when he saw the Frechette brothers and Holman, he turned course and returned to the floe to add three more souls to the small boat. On the shore of Madeline Island, people were watching the rescue unfold. Frechette remembers it this way: "The waves were getting higher and we'd go up and down on them. Each time we dropped from sight, the people on shore thought we had gone down." The wind was fierce and the men's clothes were freezing to their skin. Chunks of ice were punching holes in the small boat, and while Beauf rowed, the others bailed out water with a wooden box. Oscar Holman tried to relieve Beauf by rowing, but almost lost control of the boat. Beauf, experienced with his boat, took back the oars and continued the slow movement toward shore. More than 2 hours after climbing into Beauf's boat, Frechette and the others reached the beach at Long Island. With frozen clothes, the six men walked along the beach until they reached the warmth of a friend's shack. "My clothes were frozen so stiff I couldn't bend my arms," Vern told me. Similar feats of rescue and escape were repeated across the ice floe. Ole Sandstrom and George Larocque of Madeline Island saved themselves by walking in an easterly direction all day on the ice floe until they could get to shore near Saxon Harbor. Amazingly, all 29 people who had been caught on the floe that day were rescued or escaped unharmed, although several cars, abandoned by their owners, forever became property of Lake Superior. All the survivors became part of an incredible story that for years was the staple of local barbershops and taverns around Shawamigan Bay. Vern was the last of that group when I spoke with him, the sole keeper of the story. With a grin on his face and shining eyes, he summed up that day on the ice simply, "Oh, it throws a scare into ya." Vern passed away in 2002 at the age of 93. For WXPR, I'm Bob Wilging with History Afield.